And not everything I'm going to talk about today is illegal, but everything that I'm going to talk about today is bad for regular Americans.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I'm a data wonk.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I talk about food a lot on the show. It's a thing. I am a foodie.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back, everybody. Hope your Monday has started off well, because it hasn't started off very well for the president. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. I am referring specifically to the fact that the big, beautiful reconciliation bill, although I don't think I've ever heard him actually refer to the bill as a budget reconciliation bill. He doesn't talk like that. There aren't actual technical terms that are used by our president. No, a not so great Monday for the president of the United States. Five Senate Republicans coming out publicly and saying they will not support the budget reconciliation bill in its current form. Now, the interesting point about this, of course, is that their reasoning varies drastically, I guess would be a way to put it, with Ron Johnson in the camp of it's not cruel enough. We need more cuts to Medicaid and Social Security. With Josh Hawley and Senator Susan Collins of Maine saying it's plenty cruel. We actually need to preserve Medicaid. With Rand Paul somewhere in the middle saying, I just hate deficits. Don't worry, I've got a great co-host here with me this afternoon to help explain all of it. His name is Matt Rothschild. He authors and produces a wonderful podcast called Wisconsin Forward that you can find on the Civic Media's website, Spotify, Apple Pods, wherever you find your favorite podcasts, you'll find Matt's there. I subscribe and I highly recommend that you do as well. Matt, it is really shocking where we're at. When Republicans can't themselves agree on the reason to hate the bill, it might indicate to you that the bill is worthy of being hated for any number of reasons.
I mean, part of it is, you know, are we going to have a democracy here? Are we going to have our elected officials actually do what their constituents wants? Because the vast majority of Americans don't want these cuts for Medicaid. That's why you have a right winger like Josh Hawley all of a sudden getting religion on keeping Medicaid spending. So there is this real question. And if Trump got his way, he would, and Ron Johnson got his way, they'd totally ignore the wishes of the American people or the wishes of their own constituents, state by state and district by district. But I think the citizenry is really letting people know. That's why I want to give out the number again for people to call Capitol Hill 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. And call your elected officials here in Wisconsin. Everybody should call Ron Johnson and give him an earful, but there are other folks there like Grothman and Tiffany and Van Orden
style
that need to be, have their cage rattled a little bit because they're there to represent us and they're not representing us.
No, polling out today says that in every single congressional district in the country, people don't want cuts to Medicaid, and yet Republicans marching on with the cuts to Medicaid, and according to Senator Ron Johnson and many GOP Congress people, the cuts just aren't enough. Princess Kathy from Madison says this, I have a 41-year-old daughter on the autism spectrum, who is on Medicare because both her father and I are retired. She also has a seizure and fainting disorder and has been dismissed from nonprofit programs after having seizures due to liability concerns. Is she going to be expected to work, or will they decide people who can't work for their benefits belong in institutions because that'll happen over my dead body? I mean, yeah, these are some of the problems that we're talking about, and it seems to me that Republicans don't want to talk about actual impacts. They don't want to confront the number of 13.7 million Americans without health care. They just want to talk about cost cutting and deficits. Listen, we're going to have to address the deficit issue in this country. My answer is let's start on the revenue side of the equation. Let's start with taxing people who make hundreds of millions of dollars, who inherit vast, vast quantities of generational wealth. These are the things that I think the vast majority of voters and working people can agree on. Estate taxes used to kick in at like $600,000. Now they don't kick in until like $27 million. I mean, that's an insanity, in my opinion, and it is deeply unfair. You want to get in on this conversation? Joe from Madison, we just lost you on the line. Please feel free to give us a call back. Rebecca from Milwaukee, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Again, that number to Congress that Matt has provided, 202-224-3121. I also wanted to correct a statistic. Social Security tax ends at $176,001. If you make over $176,000 a year, your $176,001 is not subject to Social Security tax, which means in nanoseconds after the first of the year, Jeff Bezos, George Soros, Elon Musk, Warren Buffett, all the rest of the billionaire class, they were done paying Social Security taxes within a second or so. Kurt from Madison says this, I am so ticked off about these early I'm not quite sure I follow Kurt's text. If Dems get control of Congress, this is, I think, his point, are they prepared to go all out to work for the middle class? I think that's a big question, Kurt. And I think some of what Democrats are trying to figure out is how do we reestablish our bona fides with a lot of people who feel left behind? Matt, what do you say?
Yeah, well, I mean, Democrats should be able to make the sale on paid family leave, for instance, on increasing the minimum wage, on health care for everybody, and free college education. That's what we need. Those are all popular things. That's what we need to advocate for. We can't retreat from those and try to mollify a certain group that we think will help us over the finish line. I think if we stand up for what we really believe in and know what's morally the way to go, I think we're going to make gains.
Yeah, Kurt clarifies he's ticked off with these early a.m. votes in the middle of the night, like at 1 a.m.
Yeah, that's not democracy.
No, it certainly damn well isn't. And GOPers in our state legislature pull the same kind of crap all the time as well. Joe from Madison, glad to see you back. Say hi to Matt. What you got for us?
Great show and great guest in the last half hour that you had. I'd love to hear from him again. I just wanted to state in terms of this question of Medicaid and who's affected by it. I was going to call in because I had heard that up to one-fourth of nursing home residents are paid for by Medicaid, which to me is gigantic. I mean, that's a huge number of people who are affected and their families who may not be in a position to provide care at home for people. So I just wanted to check that stat. So I did the usual, Siri, is it true that one-fourth of nursing home residents are paid for by Medicaid? And it came back. Sadly, it came back. No, it's not true. In fact, over two-thirds, 60 to 70% of nursing home residents are covered by Medicaid, making it the primary payer for most residents. So let's imagine what's going to happen if you have big cuts there in terms of who's going to pick up the care, who's going to stay home and take care of elderly residents or friends or family members, who's going to do that? Or who is going to be picking up the slack when the workers in those nursing homes are looking at those kinds of cuts? There are all sorts of people that are employed by nursing homes, and, you know, it's a good job, you know. It can pay okay and provide some satisfaction. I mean, two-thirds, 60 to 70% of nursing home residents are covered by Medicaid. What will happen to those people? So,
thanks so much, Joe. Matt, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm glad Joe brought that up. This is what Medicaid covers. It covers people in nursing homes. It covers folks who are disabled. It covers health care for poor Americans. And that means largely poor kids, too.
Yes.
What are you saying to those poor kids? They just shouldn't get coverage? And so that's why a majority of Americans in every congressional district, as you pointed out, Maggie, support Medicaid. They understand enough that Medicaid is a crucial program. They don't want cuts in Medicaid. And yet you have people like Ron Johnson saying you got to make them more savage.
It occurs to me that just as J.D. Vance and many Republicans who are completely out of touch, who don't have the cell phone numbers of billionaires, just like J.D. Vance would say, well, just call up your in-laws to provide childcare, since everybody's got wealthy in-laws who are retired with tons of time on their hand. These out-of-touch GOPers who hobnob with 100 millionaires and billionaires, oh, well, you can just afford to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for your parents' or grandparents' nursing home care. That is insane. They have no idea what it's like for regular working people, and their solutions are pie-in-the-sky nonsense that's brought about because they themselves have never wondered where their health care is coming from, where their meals are coming from, or who's paying their bills. They were born with a silver spoon in their mouth, and though J.D. Vance wasn't born like that, he spent the last 15 years of his life rubbing elbows with the haves of the world, and I think so much of this is born out of deep, deep out-of-touchedness, 'cause these are real issues. I mean, who the heck can afford $20,000 a month, $10,000 a month for nursing home care? It would crush 99% of American families.
Yeah, no one can afford it. And then the idea that you just find a relative, you know, a lot of people don't have relatives who are available to take care of, you or your mom or your dad or your grandparents. That idea that there's just an easy out if the doors get closed on the nursing home or you don't get paid to send your parents or grandparents to the nursing home, it's just not realistic.
And you talk to people in northern Wisconsin, they talk about this problem. Hospitals closing, you can't find general practitioners, you can't find OBGYNs, you cannot find nursing homes with open beds. I know family members of mine who have been on waiting lists for months trying to get into nursing homes who live in northern Wisconsin. It's absolutely unconscionable. I've got Matt Rothschild with me. He is our fine guest co-host. We're going to queue up the discussion about Ukraine. Two big pieces of news today, Matt. The first is that Donald Trump spent a couple of hours on the phone with Vladimir Putin. We'll talk about what came of that today. I also want to talk about the news-making editorial written by the former ambassador to Ukraine, who officially resigned over the weekend. She penned an op-ed in the Detroit Free Press. Her name is Bridget A. Brink, and she said that she could not carry on working for the Trump.
I think it's Wendy McMahon, actually, right? The ambassador?
No, the former U.S. ambassador in Kyiv, Bridget A. Brink, wrote that.
All
right. This is why there's two of us. Team teamwork effort here, Matt. She wrote that she could not continue to work for the Trump administration that, quote, put pressure on the victim, Ukraine, rather than on the aggressor, Russia, end quote. We'll continue that discussion. You all are welcome to join us, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Get Matt Rothschild with me. I'm Maggie Dawn. And each and every one of you, this important discussion continues on the other side. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.